as when Sarah shared a few weeks ago, I think one of her comments was that when you're over 60, your story tends to be a little bit long. So it's the same with me. I'm over 60, so it's been a long life. So I've divided it into sections. The first one I'm calling I Am a Canadian. Not like the beer commercial, but I am a Canadian. And for the scripture passage, I've chosen Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for evil, to give you a future and a hope. And verse 12, then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will hear you. Like many other Canadians of my generation from the Prairie region, my ancestry in Canada is long and complex on one side of my family, and short and yet equally complex on the other side. Let me explain. My mother's family name is Roy. Her paternal grandfather, Napoleon Roy, his roots in Canada date back to, as far as we know, 1645. These ancestors came from France, and they were by and large laborers, farmers, craftsmen, and generally speaking, the women were filles du roi. My mother's maternal grandparents came from County Monaghan, Ireland, about 1832. So my family background was about 200 years French before the Irish turned up. They were from the Ottawa area, and as was common, the French and the Irish socialized together, did business together, worked together on farms, and eventually their children married and began families of their own. So my great-grandparents, Napoleon Roy and Margaret Ann Pritchard, had six kids, and when the West opened up, they moved to Saskatoon. My mother's maternal family were English folks by the name of Holding, with some ancestors by the name of McAllister, which would suggest Scottish or Irish heritage. Originally in Canada, they were from Brantford. They moved west to Rapid City, Manitoba, when it appeared that the railroad was going to pass through there. When an alternate route for the railroad was chosen, they pulled up stakes and they moved to Saskatoon, where they opened up their hardware business, Holdings Hardware. My father's family, on the other hand, emigrated from the region of Galicia in Ukraine in 1925. My grandfather had been a soldier in the Austro-Hungarian army during World War I. At the end of which he was abandoned in eastern Ukraine, far from home and with no way to return. His parents and younger siblings had emigrated to Canada before the war broke out, so he was literally all alone. My grandmother and he became acquainted as he was able to get employment in the post office in her village. They married and had two children, a son and a daughter. Then my great-grandparents sent the money to pay for only my grandfather to come to Canada to join them. There was not enough money for my grandmother and the children, which of course put them all in a very difficult situation. However, the communists were wreaking havoc in Ukraine, and my grandparents really needed to get out. So more money was sent, and as they say, the rest is history. Although the immigration stories in my family history are all very different and they span over 300 years in Canada, one of the main things that binds them together is their faith in Jesus Christ and their hope that he would give them a future full of hope and goodness. My ancestors were Roman Catholic, Methodist, Baptist, Ukrainian Catholic, and Russian Orthodox. Some of them could read, many of them could not. Some of them were leaders in their faith communities, serving believers in small and large ways. Whatever the case, that is the one thing that they had in common. My father always says that when they did not have a priest in the Orthodox Church in Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. He said, much to his surprise, his father knew the whole liturgy in Old Church Slavonic. And as we are doing today with no priest, they couldn't serve the Eucharist, but his father could lead the whole congregation in the service of the word. He said he was always fascinated that was one thing that his father could do. So part of my background. The next section I'm calling I Know You. And I'm reading from Psalm 139. O Lord, thou hast searched me and known me. Thou knowest when I sit down and when I rise up. Thou discernest my thoughts from afar. Thou searchest out my path and my lying down, and art acquainted with all my ways. Whither shall I go from thy spirit, or whither shall I flee from thy presence? I think this is a very familiar psalm. For thou didst form my inward parts, thou didst knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise thee, for thou art fearful and wonderful. Wonderful are thy works. Thou knowest me right well. My frame was not hidden from thee when I was being made in secret, intricately wrought in the depths of the earth. Thy eyes beheld my unformed substance. So that I'm calling this, I Know You. So like my grandparents, I grew up in Saskatoon, Saskatchewan. My dad was a university professor and my mom stayed at home to look after myself and my two siblings, as well as to run the house, have a large garden and stay active in the church and community. My folks had been in Montreal for 5 years while my dad went to graduate school. So coming home to Saskatoon was exactly what they wanted. As I've been thinking about my life and the Lord's movement in it over these past number of weeks since I volunteered to speak today, I realized that all the awareness of my life as a child, I lived a double life. That is to say that my life at home was much different than my life outside my home. At home, my parents did not get along. So there was lots of fighting and crying, and also lots of silence, tense silence. I know that when I was about 6 years old, my parents were having a fight again, and I went into their bedroom, sat on their bed, and looked into their full-length mirror. Looking at my reflection, I realized that I was on my own, and that I could not rely on my parents, and that I had to look after myself. Years and years later, when I was receiving healing prayer, this experience came up. And the Lord graciously showed me that, in fact, it was Him that I had been able to lean on, and that He had known me all through those difficult years. My life outside our home was full of life and enjoyment. I loved attending school and I did well. I loved to read and I learned to read quickly and easily. Reading became a kind of escape for me. I started piano lessons when I was about 8.5 years old and I absolutely loved it. The same could be said of dance. I wasn't athletic, but I sure enjoyed dancing and I did many different kinds of dance. We were actively involved in our local United Church, and it was a huge, huge blessing in my life. The part of Saskatoon that I grew up in had originally been a small railroad community. It was annexed into Saskatoon before I was born, but it was still completely separate from Saskatoon. And so it was like growing up in a small village. And so at the time that I was growing up, our friends at church were also our friends at school, and we were also friends in the neighborhood. some of the other parents in our neighborhood were people that my dad had gone to university with many years before. And some of our neighbors had grown up in the same small farming communities outside of Saskatoon. And it was a very tight-knit community. And when I reflect on it now, I believe that that was a way that God was present to me in those days and showed me something of who he is and how he manifests himself in community. I also have reflected on the fact that although, you know, in the United Church, we didn't necessarily memorize scripture passages for Sunday school every week. I mean, we went to Sunday school every week for sure. But again, as I reflect back, I learned so much scripture through song. There was a man in Jericho called Zacchaeus. The Hebrews, they were tall, but Zacchaeus, he was small, but the Lord loved Zacchaeus better than them all. Is one. Tons and tons of scripture that I know through song. And I think that was also when God first started to show me the power of song in reaching hearts. The other thing is that there was a girls organization called CGIT, Canadian Girls in Training. And for example, our motto as a Canadian girl in training, it is my purpose to seek truth, know God, and serve others, and thus with God's help become the girl that he would have me be. So we learned scripture and learned about missionaries and so on and learned about God's work in the world. So I've often thought, even though we maybe didn't do things the same way as some of our evangelical brothers and sisters did, there certainly, in the time that I was a kid, there was still certainly lots of ways that we were learning about God. Anyway, those people that I was surrounded with as a child, they supported our family when my parents eventually decided to get divorced. And I know that everybody was very sad, but I know that there was not any judgment towards my parents. Anyway, now we'll get into it. I think the current phrase that everybody's using now is adulting. I think that's the new phrase. And I just wanted, again, to read a couple of quick passages. And again, they're probably ones that you're familiar with. The first one is Acts chapter 2. When the day of Pentecost had come, they were all together in one place. And suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues as of fire distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And then the next one is John 3. Again, I know this will be familiar to you. Now there was a man of the Pharisees named Nicodemus, a ruler of the Jews. This man came to Jesus by night and said to him, "Rabbi, we know that you are a teacher come from God, for no one can do these signs that you do unless God is with him." Jesus answered him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born anew, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Nicodemus said to him, "How can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter a second time into his mother's womb and be born?" Jesus answered, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God." So when I went to university, I studied education, but I was also considering studying for the ministry, and I was actually given the opportunity one summer to take a job looking after a small church in Saskatoon. one of the first Sundays of that summer, that must have been 1978, we joined together with another congregation, and one of the scripture, it was Pentecost Sunday, and the scripture from Acts chapter 2 was read. And I remember thinking that I had been attending church faithfully all my life, and I had never heard or seen anything like what was described in that passage. I believed that the Bible was true, but I had never seen or heard anything like that before. I was auditing a class in Romans at St. Andrew's College on the U of S campus. That's our United Church Theological College. And I mentioned this, that I hadn't seen or heard anything like this, to one of my classmates, Stuart Appenheimer. He started talking to me about the baptism in the Holy Spirit and offered to take me to an interdenominational prayer meeting. That turned out to be a life-changing adventure in more ways than one. Because as you know, Stuart and I have just celebrated our 40th wedding anniversary. I began to experience a much more lively and fulfilling relationship with God and experienced the presence of the Holy Spirit in a whole new way. As it turned out, I was really going to need it. I sort of describe it like this. When you get to be an adult, you should hopefully have some bags full of tools and helpful things so that you can begin to make your way through adult life. Well, after I got married, I realized that I didn't have a wife bag. Honestly, I didn't have a clue what to do or where to begin. But my experience of the Lord coming to me in a very personal way proved to be a great help. He led me to books by wonderful Christian authors who were writing about home and family. 100 Huntley Street, the program which was led by David and Norma Maines, was doing a series of teachings on the family just at that exact time, 1980, and especially learning how to pray for one's family of origin. Can you imagine that came just at the time Stuart and I got married? And the other thing is that David Maines and I come from the same family. He is also from the Pritchard family in Wakefield, Quebec. God was so merciful. I didn't have a clue how to be married. And that teaching from 100 Huntley Street and books by Maxine Hancock were just, God was so merciful. I did have a mother bag, but it had a lot of holes in it. When we started to have children, we were so blessed by the ministry of James Dobson and focused on the family, which helped us in so many ways. We were encouraged to have Christian friends in our small village. And just as it happened, a whole bunch of people on our street had young children. A lot of them the same age as our kids, and some of them even went to our church. The Lord has always provided us a place to worship where we are not the ministry couple. When we came here to the coast, for a few years we were attending 10th Avenue Alliance at their evening service. And I became aware that I, for a number of reasons, had suppressed my own artistic abilities and interests, and that this, in some way, the Lord was bringing it up for me, and I was in my early 50s, I guess, at that point. Although I had served the Lord with music for sure, and I mean, it's always been an extremely important part of my life. It seemed like the Lord was bringing it up for some reason. I met with the pastor of the evening service, and after meeting with him a couple of times, I decided to become rebaptized. I had been baptized in our tradition. As in the United Church, I had been baptized as an infant and confirmed at the age of 18. But this was adult, believer, full immersion baptism. I had been active as a church musician all my life, but somehow the Lord was asking me to give myself to Him again and to give the artistic sensibilities and abilities that He has placed in me to Him for Him to use, perhaps in new ways. It's still a mystery to me. It's an ongoing learning for me. But I obeyed, and there is definitely a new freedom, and there are new expressions to the things that I create. When I took Corpus Level 1, the Lord actually, for my manifesto, the Lord actually spoke to me in a dream several times, and it was so vivid that I woke up in the night a couple of times and started to scribe, and He gave me actually a vision of a huge wall hanging. And I haven't made it, partly because I don't quite have the skills to know what to do, but it's certainly something that I think it expresses what Corpus is, but it's also something that I think in the future He would have me make. Anyway, I have made many mistakes in my life, and there have been mishaps and struggles along the way. It's a fact of the human condition that all of us are sinners in need of the Savior. The mistakes that my parents made, I hoped not to make, but I know that I made brand new ones, fresh for me, my husband, and our children. But I feel very grateful and blessed. I'm so thankful to the Lord for our four healthy adult children who love and serve the Lord faithfully, each in their own way. I'm grateful for our daughter-in-law, our son-in-law, our almost son-in-law, 13 days, I think he'll be our son-in-law, and our three granddaughters. And I ask the Lord every single day to continue to work in all of our lives so that we might shine His light in our world and live to bring glory to His name. Thank you. Wow. You wanted to ask me any questions or make any comments, I'm open to that.
My goodness, Anne, thank you so much for just sharing so beautifully, so vulnerably from your story. Fascinating hearing about some of your heritage as well in the early days. I just thought like that passage from Jeremiah 29 almost as a blanket kind of just power-packed truth full of promises. It was such a cool picture of your whole life story, even beyond just that one season, just the to give you a future and a hope. You know, when I hear, I loved how you were saying, I didn't have a wife bag, you know, or I didn't have a mother bag, or I had a mother bag, but it was full of holes, you know. these kind of honest places, and when, you know, thank you for sharing even in some of the traumatic parts of your story, these memories that you had from when your parents in your home as a young child, these moments of trauma. I thought that was so profound when you said, you know, in those moments when you're staring into that mirror, I have to look out for myself. You know, and so there's all these kind of points in your story where it's like you know, in whether it's in trauma, whether it's in, you know, major life transitions like marriage or major life transitions like starting a family, we recognize I'm not equipped for this. You know, I don't have And in your story too, like that's connected to what you didn't receive from your parents as well, right? You didn't receive a healthy framework and foundation for what a healthy, thriving marriage would look like. That wasn't displayed to you in your home, and you didn't receive, what it would look like to be a supportive, caring mother, or but yet it was the Lord was so faithful to pour into you and equip you, whether it's through the church community, whether it's through these resources, in His presence, supernaturally, even by the Spirit. You're describing these profound encounters with God that just that maybe it sounds like a transformational kind of season in the presence of the Lord. I guess as you think about our community, as you think about even the next generation, how would you what would you say to the next generation in terms of, I guess what I'm touching on is this theme of, no matter what life has looked like, the Lord is your source and provider. You kind of came from, I have to do this for myself, to the Lord, to turning to the Lord and allowing the Lord to pour into you, to bring healing to those moments, and to give you, to provide for you the kinds of things that you need. Do you have any thoughts in that vein for?
I think the thing is that God is real. He is who he says he is, and that he carries our burdens. The old when we lived in the prairies, we served in two little country churches, and we got to know quite a few sort of country and western gospel songs. Is your burden heavy as you bear it all alone? Does the future press you? With your I forget all the words, but the thing is, when you bring your life to the foot of the cross, when you bring your life to Jesus, and then trust him, he carries you, and he's the one who gives you what you need. I think most of us, like my experience in the school system, for example, is that you can do anything you want. You can be anything you want. But I often think God has made you special. God will fulfill your dreams. God is the one who looks after you. And I think part of it is that all ages of people, but especially young people, need to know that God is who he says he is. He can be trusted.
It's beautiful, Anne.
So good.
I'm just wondering, kind of along these veins, if you would maybe just close with a prayer for all of us, that the things that the Lord has poured into you and the ways that he's taught you to trust him and to lean on him and to receive from him, those places where we've got holes in our bags or no bag at all, that the Lord would be sufficient there.
Sure. Let's pray. Almighty God and our Heavenly Father, we thank you so much that you have known us from the beginning, that as the psalmist has written, you were there at the beginning of our creation, that you have knit us together in our mother's womb. Lord, that you know us intimately. Lord, you also know where our hurts and our wounds are. You know, Lord, where life has bumped us about and caused hurt and pain in our lives. You know the places in our lives where we feel lack, where we feel like we just don't know what to do or where to turn, that we're just bereft of knowledge and we're just completely lost. Lord, we live in a time when we are just, where it's encouraged for us to be completely independent, that being self-made is highly exalted and revered in our society. Lord, would you help us to go against that and realize that we are nothing without you? Lord, would you help us to fall on our knees before you? Lord, to lay down our lives, to admit that sometimes we have no knowledge of what to do next. Lord, that we have no bag. Sometimes, Lord, that we think we know what we're doing, but our bag is full of holes, that we're wounded, that we're broken, that our lives are full of shame and sorrow. Lord, would you meet us? Would you meet us on our knees, Lord?
Yes, Father.
Would you pour your Holy Spirit onto us, Lord, and into us? Lord, would your would the presence of your Holy Spirit, that healing balm, flow into us, Lord, bringing us healing, wholeness? Lord, would you help us when we come to you to sense your presence so deeply, so fully? And Lord, would you help us to rise up again, full of your light and full of your love?
Yes, Father.
With our hearts full of thanksgiving and praise, knowing that with you, our lives are full, and that we can live in your joy and in your thanksgiving. We praise and thank you, Lord, for sending your Son. And Lord, that you also send the Holy Spirit to fill us up. Mm-hmm. We pray these things in the precious name of Jesus, our Savior. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Thank you, Lord. I'm just going to, before we close our liturgy, I just feel to read that full Jeremiah 29 passage. I actually feel like this is a prophetic word for our community and actually each person that's on this call today, to remind us in our own places of deficiency, in our own places of anxiety, or as we're looking towards the fall, there's all sorts of things going on in each of our lives right now. And I feel actually that this passage that Anne brought out of her story is carries a lot of specific prophetic promises from the Lord. And we've heard this a million times, but I actually feel like each part of this passage would be worth bringing to prayer for this weekend, even reflecting on even over this next week in your homes. So Jeremiah 29, I'll start in verse 10. This is what the Lord says: when 70 years are completed for Babylon, I will come to you and fulfill my good promise to bring you back to this place. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future. Then you will call on me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. I will be found by you, declares the Lord, and will bring you back from captivity, I will gather you from where all the nations and places where I have banished you, declares the Lord, and I will bring you back to the place from which I carried you into exile. Thank you, Lord. So, Lord, I just pray a blessing over Anne this morning. I thank you for her life. I thank you for how you've spoken to us through her story. Thank you that her story is a God story. It's a story of your faithfulness, your perfect provision. Would you pour into her life this morning in a rich way, renewing, refreshing her. Bless her family as well. But God, we do thank you for the good plans that you have for each one of us, the good purposes that you have. Help us to walk in step with your Spirit, Lord, that we might walk in your ways and according to the good plans and purposes that you have for us. Make us aware, make us attentive to that.